Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Butcher, a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Let's get it going. Time for hour two of the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth and James hanging out with you.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Got some entertainment news in a moment. Get into some crazy, the craziest excuses we've used to miss work. Got a list of that.
Those are always fun.
And 15 ways we used to listen to music and why we miss them.
Okay.
All right. We'll get into that.
Cool.
And we'll get into some entertainment, or some our schedule and some good stories of the day as well for you, everybody.
But sure.
Want to begin with entertainment. Al Pacino and Robert De Niro are celebrating 50 years of friendship.
Aw.
They are doing an ad campaign together for a winter line from a luxury brand called Moncler. The theme is warmer together. De Niro says, quote, warmth was never about the outside. It was always about what is happening on the inside. Pacino says, quote, friendship is the greatest thing you can have. Friends, people whom you share the same world with, there is just an innate trust with it and an understanding of life. It is fun to see these two like interviewed together. There are very few things to me that I have seen that hit on the level of seeing Al Pacino and Robert De Niro share a screen together.
Right.
I've mentioned and I've rambled about the movie Heat many, many, many times.
Sure.
And that movie is very well written. Mm-hmm. Michael Mann does an amazing directing it. Mm-hmm. It's a 10 for 10 everywhere. The editing, the sound, everything on
overall
it.
Overall fantastic movie.
But if De Niro and Pacino are not in it, it's just not as good or the same type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
De Niro and Pacino, without working together as much as Newman and Redford, have the same type of chemistry, have the same type of mutual respect. Mm-hmm. And they've done two or three movies together now, and some of them not as good as Heat.
Sure.
But just to see them working together, you see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's chemistry that is built. And there's chemistry that is organic.
Yeah.
De Niro, Pacino, Redford and Newman were very much the organic.
Very much organic.
Just happened for them.
Yeah.
And the same thing with these two.
Yeah.
I only wish that they had gotten to work together a little bit more in their prime.
Yeah.
Casting directors were always incredibly afraid of putting them on screen together at the same time. It took Michael Mann to really be a man about it and be like, okay, yeah, we're doing this. Like, this needs to happen.
Right. And it's they came up together, you know. Same age, similar age, you know, they were both young actors together kind of thing. Similar backgrounds, you know, of the Italian descent thing, you know, that sort of thing. So they were kind of, beginning, they were typecast, you know, in certain roles that they could, there was only certain things they could do. But that finally, you know, over time, that broadened and they could do different kinds of things, which is, I mean, that's the one of the better things that's happened in Hollywood over the last 40, 50 years is that. But it is cool to see that they've had a friendship for that long.
What you know, what Robert De Niro has done in his career is unmatched. First off, one of the biggest game-changing actors of all time.
Right.
He took a lot of what Brando did and what a lot of Stanislavski and a lot of those acting mets and did his own thing with them.
Yeah, he did.
In doing that, just by not trying to change a game, he changed the game.
Yeah.
To the point now where you've got Daniel Day-Lewis, you've got method acting on steroids.
Right.
You got this insane thing.
A little too much, yeah.
But Al Pacino is not only going to go down as having one of the greatest acting careers of all time, Al Pacino in the early 70s, his stretch of films, Godfather, Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico, like you will never, I don't know if you'll ever see a better stretch than Al Pacino from like 71, 72 to 76, 77.
Yep.
That stretch of movies he does, I've studied this. I don't know anybody that has a stretch of movies like that in acting history.
The critical, I mean, I don't know if all of them were hits, but critically, they were all just, I mean, they're all classic movies. Yeah.
Well, and I'm certainly focusing on the acting.
Right,
And not only the vast difference of characters.
Yes.
From Don Corleone to his character in Dog Day Afternoon.
Even which Serpico. People don't even, I mean, realize that that's such a different character. Yeah.
You have not seen many more versatile actors than Al Pacino, and you never will. Mm-hmm. Like, that. The level Al Pacino is on is incredibly different than most actors will ever see. I hope they do another movie together. I'd like to see them do a comedy together. You know, they both
done, that'd be fun. Yeah,
they've done some comedic stuff here and there.
Right.
And Al Pacino is apparently hilarious on sets. He's apparently one of these guys that likes to just joke around all the time and stuff.
Love it.
The director has to remind him to be serious and stuff. There's a good chance we have been saying Mariska Hargitay's name wrong.
Oh no!
Mariska cleared up the confusion on the latest episode of Amy Poehler's Good Hang podcast, which is a really fun podcast. Over the years, she's got everything from Mariska to Maritza to Maricia to Mariska.
Oh no!
But the correct pronunciation is Mariska.
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 So there's a sh in there. Mariska. Sh. Okay.
It's got a little almost Yiddish, it sounds.
Mariska.
It is not Yiddish, but it almost has a Yiddish.
Yeah.
She says, quote, in Hungarian, the ka and the ki at the end of the name is just like a little endiment.
Oh, okay. All right.
So the name is actually Maria after my grandmother, both of them Hungarian and Italian.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that. So Mariska, it's got such a nice flow to it. It's a really cool. I love that name.
Yeah, yeah. It's a name, and it's one of those names that just fits her so well. Even
right.
though I've never heard that name before in my life,
and it's better. I mean, it is her last name. Hargitay though is not a great sounding.
No,
it's such a harsh sounding name. But I mean, that was her dad's name, so it makes sense, you know, kind of thing.
Well, and to that, piggybacking on that, Seth, by now most people, if you know her famous family
yep.
and ties and that, and then yep. her story. She was another one of these actors that was told by agents early on, you got to change your name.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be Jane Smith.
No one could say Mariska, right?
Nobody,
yeah.
You're never going to have a career with that name.
Yep.
Nobody's ever going to know who you are.
Yep.
And look at her. Yeah. And doing it basically with one role.
Yeah.
Like,
and know. I mean, and she is just, and it's an amazing performer. I mean, it's just so cool. But, and it's like, yeah, what do you mean she's not going to have it? By the way, I'm Jane Mansfield's daughter. Get out of here. What are you talking about?
What agent? I hope those agents don't have a job.
Yeah,
I really
seriously.
Do. Because I don't usually wish that on people. But find another job because this is not the industry for you.
No.
If you think that lady is going to have a hard time finding work.
No.
And then there's this one that I thought was kind of interesting, Seth. And this brings out the 90s kids in us.
Okay.
Drummer Matt Cameron will be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a second time on November 8th with Soundgarden.
Okay.
He was previously part of Pearl Jam's induction back in 2017.
Wow.
This is kind of interesting and a really grunge, Hall of Famer right there and everything.
No kidding.
Matt says this time feels a little more meaningful, though.
Mm.
Quote, I helped build Soundgarden from the ground up. I helped create the sound, I think, a little bit more than I did with Pearl Jam,
mm-hmm.
which was definitely more of an established thing when I came into it.
That's right. That's right.
Matt is 63 now. He joined Soundgarden at 86 and played on each of their six studio albums. Matt joined Pearl Jam in 98 and first appeared on Binaural in 2000.
Okay.
So
right.
He was more of a touring drummer for quite some time until they finally brought him into the studio.
Right.
He actually just left Pearl Jam in July. He is having issues with their three-hour shows and constant touring. He just can't keep up with it.
Well, when you get to a certain age, I understand that.
Quote, that's definitely an art form unto itself to be able to do those types of shows. I'm at a point now where I want to do a face-melting 70-minute set, and that's kind of all I want to focus on.
Oh, okay. I see. Just make it quick and easy. Gotcha.
Matt, the fact that he's still doing it.
That's
pretty impressive right there.
Yep.
Matt also gave an update on Soundgarden 8-track final album using posthumous vocals from Chris Cornell.
Oh.
He says it's over halfway done, and guitarist Kim Thayil is perfecting his parts on the recording.
Wow. I didn't even know they were doing that. That's interesting.
I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I should be or not, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
But it feels a little weird.
It feels like the Beatles thing, you know, where they took John's vocals and kind of added their own stuff to it. And that's... as long as the rest of the band is cool, if Chris Cornell's family is cool with it, then hey, I'm like, you know, go for it. Maybe you could come up with something really interesting. So
it's again one of these things where music is so very, very, very different than any other art media.
Yeah.
Where I don't know, there's certain like. The artists don't feel like we lose them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can visually see an actor or somebody like that in a movie
right.
and stuff, mm-hmm. and you're almost hard pressed not to think about them being
right.
Gone.
Exactly.
Whereas with the music, it's not something you think about right away.
Right.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you, if you're lucky enough, you forget about it while you're listening to the song.
That's a great point. I don't think of what my favorite band members look like. when I'm listening, not videos or anything, just when I'm listening to the music. I think about the music. I think about the lyrics. I think about everything about the music. I don't have a visual necessarily of the band playing the music, right? And that's a really good point because, and I think that's why I think you can get away with it a little bit more that way.
Yeah. It makes it interesting.
It does, absolutely.
As far as like where when we lose artists and mm-hmm. them. I was listening to new Tupac songs 10 years after his death.
Right.
Like, you know, and so, I mean,
that's why they're still releasing Prince stuff because he recorded so much music, right?
It's certainly not new, but it's something that we're more okay with than, boy, when an actor has a movie come out posthumously.
Yeah.
Like, that is usually a very uncomfortable thing.
That feels a little weirder.
And all that. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention our WFHR newsletter. We got a new edition coming out for you later this week. Be on the lookout for it, everybody, in your email box.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have not already signed up for it, well, get on over to WFHR.com. Sign up for it right now. It's your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news. We cover this area better than anybody.
We do.
While you're there, why not get us your recipe?
Yeah, we are collecting those recipes, everyone. We're putting together the next WFHR cookbook. It's an old tradition here. It hasn't been done in a little while, but we're trying to bring it back. We've got, apparently, they keep talking about this amazing cover that we're going to have. I don't know. Melissa's got something in the works for that one. But anyway, but we want your recipe. We need your recipes, everyone. We need to fill it with something, and that is what we're doing right now. Lots of different ways you can do it. Like James said, you can go to WFHR.com, click on the banner, fill out the very simple form we got for that. You can bring it in here in person at 1690 2nd Avenue South during our normal business hours, 9 to 5. Pam is here. She'll make a copy or write it down or whatever. You take a picture, send it to us on the Civic Media app. You can text it to us that way. You can send it to an email, info@WFHR.com. Am I missing anything?
That's
what we'll take it. However you said it, we'll take it.
Just get it to us. We want you to be a part of it. Keep in mind, if your recipe gets submitted, you'll get a free edition of the cookbook.
You do get a free cookbook.
And it's a great way to be supportive, be a part of your community.
Yeah.
Be a part of things and everything.
That's right.
Look, we probably will be wrapping this up towards the end of the month, though, everybody.
Yep.
So get those recipes to us now, WFHR.com, and sign up for that newsletter. Shout out to everybody working so hard behind the scenes on that newsletter. And want to remind everyone that our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Foxes have their newest production coming up October 23rd, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, everyone.
Join them and eat, drink, and be murdered, an Irish family feud. Be sure to check out the 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow, and then on the next day, the 24th, they will have a 7 o'clock show. All these will take place at the WRCT Auditorium. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org. Buy local, support local. Have some fun with this one. They sure will.
You get
to
participate in this one. You try to guess who the killer is. And if you get it right, you get your name entered in a drawing for a prize. So it's very cool.
And not for nothing, but to me, you've got, if not the best, one of the best directors in our community, Linda Garski, directing this thing. So it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You have fun. Get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org. Seth and I will take a quick time out. When we come back, the crazy excuses we've used to miss work. Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. It is almost the weekend, but sometimes you need that extra day. You know, you just want that day off.
You just need a day, you know, just it's about time. I need to take a day.
Yes. Yeah. And while there are plenty of reasons like doctor's appointments and things like that people ask off for work, there are days where you just want that day. I know.
Mental health day.
Yeah. I was just going to say, that's one of the bigger ones going around now that's becoming more normal. Of needing that.
Yep, and that's some, right.
Well, someone asked Reddit for the craziest excuses they've seen for missing work. And real quick before we get to these, I want you all to keep in mind that this will always be a thing, but it is not nearly the thing that it used to be.
Right.
Nowadays, if people don't want to show up, sometimes they don't even tell you.
They just don't show up.
They don't even bother coming up with a crazy excuse anymore.
I don't feel like it.
There is almost a part of me that is going to be missing the idea of somebody in these wild Ferris Bueller-like needing the day off, and they come up with these wacky excuses or whatever.
How many grandmas does he have?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So someone asked on Reddit here, the highlights of crazy excuses to miss work. A guy didn't show up on Valentine's Day because he thought it was a federal holiday.
Oh.
That's great.
Hey, almost plausible.
James, I noticed you weren't here on Monday. It was Arbor Day. I thought
it's Arbor a national
Day,
holiday, right?
Arbor Day was a national holiday. I was planting a tree. I flushed my car keys down the toilet.
Now, that, to be fair, has happened in the past, but now we usually have like a backup set. So, I mean,
I don't know many people that have a single key.
Yeah.
Like, all of us are walking around with 20 keys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, of course, we don't know what half of them are for, but you know.
How the heck is that getting flushed? What kind of toilet do you have? Like, how is that getting down there? I got a lot of follow up questions.
A key ring of 20 keys and it went down the toilet?
If you call in to me, you're going to get a lot of follow up questions on these. And not because I don't believe you, but I'm just curious.
Your curiosity.
Quote, chipmunks filled my trunk's engine with walnuts. Oh, we've all been there.
Again, plausible. If you live in the country, animals, I've told the story before, the rabbit that ended up in our car, that we had it towed, you know, into, because we're having issues with it. We have it towed at overnight, I guess. The rabbit crawled into the car because when the mechanic opened up the trunk, guess what popped out? Boop! It was a rabbit. Scared the living daylights out of him, too.
I can't imagine.
He was not expecting that.
Someone's coworker called out because she ran out of toilet paper. And so she called it.
Why? Like, No.
She did call from the toilet, at least. She did. Yeah. She stuck to the bit.
Sorry, I have to stay here all day because I don't have any toilet paper.
A woman called off work because there was a big bug outside her door, but it turned out it was just a piece of string. That's
okay.
That one I think that a lot of us could relate to. I think people have been freaked out by things before. I mentioned what happened to me when I was a kid and I first moved out here with walking sticks.
Yeah,
that I didn't know. Nobody told me that was a thing. Nobody warned me. And all of a sudden, I see this stick just moving up and down like.
And your world was in a ball of confusion after that. I didn't know what to do.
I've never trusted a stick since.
That could be a walking stick.
I don't know. quote: I ate a whole log of cookie dough. You know what?
Ooh.
You know what? I'm not going to fight you on that one. Like, okay.
I wouldn't go to work either if I did that. Yeah. That's rough.
I'm still going to ask you to come in. Just come in late.
When they're done.
Quote, I got bit on the finger by a squirrel while tossing a coffee cup into a parking garbage trash can.
Wow. Now,
see, that's what I'm talking about.
A good one.
Where you got to go, you got to make the leap.
Extra mile. Yes, yep. Go with the extra mile of the excuse. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, I'm not going to believe you, but at least try.
Yeah, exactly. Put some thought into it. At least give me a reason and entertain me while you're trying to get off of work, right?
Quote, I can't work because Zane left One Direction. So I like this one. I like the idea of something like a famous couple broke up, so you can't go to work. Like,
hey, you know what? I'm not gonna. And now this is a little more serious, but I'll bet you that the day after John Lennon was killed, there were a lot of people that couldn't go to work.
I don't know anybody that has a better work ethic than my father.
Yep.
In my whole lifetime, and I almost guarantee you he did that.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee.
Seriously,
he did
that. It affected people really seriously. Yeah. So I mean, it's not the same. I get it. You know, it's just someone leaving a bad. It's not someone being killed, which is a big difference, right? But still, I can see how people can get upset about that.
I'm not trying to like brown nose the work world or anything here. That's just the color of my nose. I don't have a crazy excuse. Like, I've had crazy things I haven't been able to go into work for.
Right. Yeah.
Plenty of times. When I was a bouncer over in when I was living in DeKalb and I was a bouncer there at a bar. I had to call into work one night because somebody broke into our apartment and I got into a fight with them and I was going to be late and everything.
That would be a good reason, I would say, not to go.
But yep. I'm telling my boss, and I can hear him on the other line laughing and not believing me and saying, no. So you got in a fight outside of work. You were trying to basically kick somebody out of a place when you were at your job. Like this.
But not here.
Not here.
Where you're getting paid to do it, right?
I got fired literally like 3 days later. Like 3 days later, man. Like that's the kind of stuff that happens to me though, because I have a weird life. Like I
think
one of the things that I'm looking for more and more the older I get, give me something normal. Give me something just basic. Is there any that you have? Is there any that you've gotten or anything?
No, I've gotten, you know, okay. Well, okay, here's one. And this guy was, I mean, he was not very consistent anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was just, so I was a bar manager at the arena at the convention center down in, up in Duluth for a couple of years, the bar manager there. And of course, one of the things you do as bar manager is when there's big events like concerts and stuff, you know, you get the beer out, you know, get all the beer stations ready to go. And one of the things we had every year was monster trucks.
Oh boy.
Okay, so monster trucks coming in, and you know, but all you're doing is you're not in the arena with the monster truck. You know, you're on the outside part and you're pouring beer. You know, people come and line up and that kind of thing. I had a guy call in and tell me that I can't be there for the monster trucks because the fumes.
Oh well. Oh, that's good. Oh, that.
Okay, I'm like, okay, we got earplugs, so if anyone needed earplugs, you know, too loud, we got, you know, got you covered, kind of thing. But I'm like, yeah, seriously.
Oh my God!
I mean, it doesn't smell good, but I mean, I seriously.
But it's also such a, like, it's, that's a tough one. It would be tougher in this day and age.
Yeah.
But if somebody calls up with that one, you're almost damned either way. Because yes, you want to push them to work. Like, yeah, you got to work through that. Here's a mask or whatever. But also, I mean, the pushback is going to get you in trouble probably. Not
right. And I'd had issues with the guy before anyway. I think that was the last straw. I think I fired him after that. But yeah.
I was at a job once where the person literally couldn't find our building. And that was why it didn't work out, because they couldn't find the building. This is nowadays. This is where you still have a million apps on your GPS, phone to find GPS and all that.
Similar thing happened here, actually, not that long ago. So,
it's genuinely one of the crazier ones I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if the GPS is wrong, which it can be, we give you an address. You can still do it the old-fashioned way, right?
That's just wild to me. That not only that, but that you would just like call off the job because you can't find the building. Because you can't
find the building. Yeah, something weird about that.
And quote, a guy I worked with in retail 15 years ago called in to say he had a nightmare and didn't think he could get back to sleep and come into work on 5 hours later. So basically he had a nightmare, and that's why he was calling in.
And he called in right after the nightmare by the sound of it. It like left him. Yeah, it's like, so I'm not going to get enough sleep in the next 5 hours or so. I'm not coming in because I had a nightmare.
That is a wild one to me. That is wild. That is interesting.
That must have been one heck of a nightmare, too.
We want to hear your best work excuses you have heard.
Or even given. Yes. You know, you don't have to give your name. You can just, you know, you can stay anonymous. I would just be curious if you used a little interesting excuse to get out of work. That'd be fun.
I did. I've only done this once in my life, but I was, when I was working in the hotel industry, my family was coming into town during Hanukkah, so I wanted to take one of the days off.
Right.
So I asked my manager at the time, hey, I'd like this day off. And it is kind of religious reasons. It's one of the days of Hanukkah and everything. And they did not believe me.
What?
They thought I just wanted the day off.
What?
And nobody in human history is pretending to be Jewish. Like, there's nobody doing that. Nobody. Like, we are what we are.
That's weird. That's wild.
It was, but then when he found out what it was, it was almost like annoying how over the top he tried to be nice to me and bring up Jewish stuff like every 5 seconds and everything.
Overcompensated, right? Yeah. It's all right, dude. It's okay.
He's a good guy, though. He's actually not a bad guy. He's actually not a bad guy. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun. We got the way we used to listen to music and why we miss it.
Ooh, nice.
Coming up on The Morning Show.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Had to get that in. Had to get the refrain in.
Yes.
So good. So good. I've been waiting to get into this one, Seth.
All right.
UltimateClassicRock.com put together a list of 15 of the ways we used to listen to music and why we may or may not miss it.
Okay. Very cool.
I'd also like to, along these lines, maybe, you know, share some of the positives of modern day music and the way you get it and stuff, too. But number one on the list, and this isn't in any particular order, I don't think, but pocket transistor radio.
Oh, wow.
Quote, the thrill of tuning into unknown radio stations from the backseat of the family car while listening, while visiting the beach was pure magic.
Yes.
One person quoted.
Those old transistor radios, man, the portable ones. Oh, man.
That literally fit in like the top front.
Yeah, they were small. They were not small. That was the big thing with transistors when they became, they replaced vacuum tubes because they were so much smaller. And because transistors were later then replaced by microchips. That's the thing because they got smaller and could do more data on one thing, but that was the miracle of transistors. Yeah.
One of my favorite things I ever had my whole life. And I felt like the world's like most awesome kid because I had one and I had so few things when I was growing up, clothes, toys, anything. I didn't have a lot of stuff, but my Nana and my mom went to a garage sale and they got me one of those little record players
that you
play 45s on.
Yes.
And that thing meant the world to me. Yes. I can still picture every little detail on it. I was white. It was so perfect. It was awesome. And the Fisher-Price turntable shows up on this list. Quote, the thrill of sneaking mom and dad's double Neil Diamond album and playing it over and over again.
Oh, that is but I mean, those are made basically for kid records.
Yeah.
And I mean, because I had a whole bunch. We got them from somewhere, got a whole bunch of those old school kid records. And we did. We had an old portable record player that we played. It probably wasn't this Fisher-Price one, but it was similar.
The portable turntable is also on here, kind of piggybacking.
Very close,
that.
Yeah.
Flipping through album covers, reading liner notes. How about the album that folded open?
The gatefold album, yes.
I think that part of the reason of the return of vinyl is not just the sound
record,
but the actual album itself.
It's the material. It's the stuff you could do. I was telling James, so I got a bunch of records from my dad, and one of them is Led Zeppelin III. And it has it has the die cut cover with the wheel that would change, you know, they have the little openings and you could change the pictures and some of the band pictures were in there and stuff. I mean, that's some of the cool stuff you could do with record covers, album covers.
You're speaking to like how I spent some of my days in the winter was going through that exact album you're talking about or Earth, Wind and Fire or so many other albums my dad had.
Yes, so cool.
Everything Beatles.
Yeah.
Every single Beatles.
The Moody Blues did a lot with that with theirs too.
8-track player. Quote, that satisfying ka-chunk that signaled a song was about to start wasn't just a sound, it was something you felt in your gut.
Oh, that is, you know, I've never really listened to an 8-track player, but I've heard it, you know, I've seen that, and I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That does sound satisfying. It's like the sound when you put the needle on the record. That little sound that you hear and the pop starts. It's like, oh yeah.
There's something to that.
Ah, love it.
And to not understand the difference of vinyl and an MP3, I feel like you don't understand music. I feel like you don't understand how not only not so much music, but how music and technology work.
Right.
You know, in order to fit these gigantic songs into a form like that, you have to crush everything. You have to layer everything.
Yes. So you have to compress it. Yep.
You're not hearing the sounds like you would on vinyl or something. It's literally different.
It is
just different. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. To each their own. But to think that there is no difference, you're not giving respect to technology and music.
And if you have, I would love to someone who's never listened to vinyl before, you know, and just is just used to, you know, streaming services and all this kind of stuff, and you have a really good sound system, I mean, just plunk them down and just put it on there. And I mean, it's like a world opens up. How different it sounds. It's really amazing.
There are very few things that I think I'm like this on, but music is one of those things where I cannot settle. I have to be able to hear the layers. I have to be able to hear the notes. I have to hear it all. A lot of MP3s don't work for me because I know how the original song sounds.
Right.
It doesn't
have that fullness to that sound to it. Yeah.
Leather-wrapped transistor radio from the garage.
Oh, good Lord.
That comforting certainty that the hits would be back right after a quick message from a local car dealership.
Oh, yes. That's the classic music radio. Yeah. Yeah.
Dad's stereo with the glass doors.
Oh, my God.
Yes. 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 Yes.
We had that.
Yeah, we did.
We
too.
Did.
Yeah,
we my family actually, we did. It was one of those where you would, you know, it had like the spring loaded. So you had the little flat metal piece that had a magnet on and then you push it and it would pop open.
Yep.
Kind of thing on both. It had the, and it opened up to you and,
Little push. And the thing clicked right over.
So my dad's setup had, of course, you know, the turntable was on top and it was like a shelf system kind of thing. So yeah, we had the turntable, the receiver. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The receiver, so you could put everything out to the speakers that you had everything on there. And then on the bottom was a big space for his reel-to-reel four-track player.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's
a good setup. Do that very much, but when we did, oh, that was cool.
It's my parents talk about it as some of the earliest memories they have of me, of my dad and his system, just similar to your dad's, with two huge speakers on the side and me just messing with the dials and jamming to the music and everything and not knowing what I was doing.
Learning what treble, when you move the treble. Oh, it sounds different. And then the bass and whoa, look at that. You know,
those things were so
cool. Oh, they were fun.
When we used to listen to music, it was an experience. We used to listen to music and it wasn't about convenience or
training. It wasn't background music. You were actually paying attention to what was going on. Yeah.
The boombox with the handle. Yeah. first off, just the look. Just to be able to walk around with the boombox.
It's an iconic look.
Yes.
But I think about this all the time. How many batteries did those things need?
Man,
like 8D batteries or something like that?
At least.
And for like an hour and a half, that's all. It would last.
I you know, things you can't prove that you know are true. I can't prove this, but I believe without a shadow of a doubt there was never a boombox built that didn't at least need 8 of those big old batteries.
Those D batteries.
At least 8. Mm-hmm. I can remember ones that needed like 10, 12. There were some. Especially because for me, I loved the boombox, but the ones with the double deck.
Yes.
If it had a double deck, all of a sudden needed like 2 more batteries.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah.
Sony Walkman.
Of course. That changed the game, man.
Everything changed with that.
That is the thing that made cassettes, was the Walkman. Because the cassettes had been around for a little while. But before the Walkman, I mean, you didn't need it. You had, like, in your car, you had, like, an 8-track. And then, of course, at home, you had the phonograph that you could put records on. You didn't need a tape player. But then, or cassettes. But then the Walkman came out, and that a whole new market exploded.
Music changed with this in many ways. Mm-hmm. It may be the biggest game changer to music outside of recording and some of that. For when we did that, all of a sudden we started changing. It wasn't about, hey, what's the best way for people to hear my music? Mm-hmm. I work so hard on this. What's the best way they can actually get what I'm trying to get across mm-hmm. here and hear my vision? Vinyl was that and everything. Mm-hmm. As soon as cars come around, 8-track gets invented for transporting.
It's more portable than having.
Take the music
they did
with
have
you.
Car phonographs, but they didn't work that well, and they were they were kind of a luxury item. But anyone could put an 8-track player in their car.
Yeah. As soon as the Walkman comes out, all of a sudden the music industry starts going, how can we get the music to go with you? What do we got to do? We'll turn it into this. We'll turn it into that. We'll make cassettes. We'll make MP3s. We'll do whatever we can to make it transportable for you mm-hmm. because now the music has to go with you. It changed everything from that. We don't get MP3s in these things.
No.
Probably because
100%.
And the Walkman, we're still using. It's not what we used to be. It's not a CD. You've got to walk still. You can't, bump it because it'll skip on you, or a cassette that might get mm-hmm. eaten or something like that. It's not in those lines. But we, Apple has had how many different little devices you can use?
The iPod
That's just a Walkman. It's just a glorified Walkman.
It is. You're so right. And it changed. I mean, it was always the better portable, because you could get a portable CD player, but it didn't work as well as a cassette. And I would say, not only does it make it made you listen differently. Okay, when you have a vinyl record and you can play it all the way through, if there's a song you don't like, you can skip it. It's mm-hmm. not. It's a little, it's hard to find the right mm-hmm. spot. You get the mm-hmm. end of it or something like that, which is kind of fun too.
Yeah.
But with tapes, you're with Walkman, you're moving. You got to listen to everything, man.
You do.
It was an experience of listening to the entire album until and then you could just quickly flip it over, Didn't have to stop much. You could probably keep walking as you flipped it over with one hand kind of thing.
To our point about this, the next things that they mentioned are all basically evolutions of it. The Sony Walkman Sport, the Sony Discman, the Mini Disc Player, all evolving from that.
Right. The Mini Disc never really caught on. I thought that was one that would, but it never did.
There's a bunch of mini disc players and Zunes just sitting in a landfill somewhere. Yeah. And the car multi-CD changer.
Oh, yes. That was a big one.
That and the boombox that had this. My favorite boombox I ever had, it had a 5-disc changer in it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the biggest game changers there's ever been. You mean I just could throw my music in there and I don't have to worry about it? I can just play it while
I could just hit play and it keeps going? Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. The pre-trip ritual of loading up your CDs and having them all
making sure you had the ones you wanted. Yes. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
I wonder if we were less distracted back then, or we were more then or not. I don't know. It's an interesting one. But the last three items on the list: Winamp, the other way listening to music on the family computer, Zune and Zen were deep cuts. There's a number of different ways I think that we may not be remembering, but they all exist. But it's awesome to think of like the industry and the creativity and the technology that has gone to just so you can listen to your favorite songs wherever you are.
Right.
That's it. Not because of some earth shattering, we need to do this, otherwise society will die. We need to do this, otherwise, you know, our education system's going to fall apart. Right. Any of these kind of things. Like this, we've gone so far into this just so we could take our music with us.
Exactly. And it's amazing. And, you know, and I don't want to downgrade what's going on now. It's easier than ever now to get new music. Stuff you've never heard before, and there was no other way you really could do it except for the radio. That was the way that we used to be able to get new music. Now you can get new music from so many different groups from all over the world. I mean, it's so much easier to find something you like now than it ever was before.
It's really easy to say, oh, this is better now than it was before, this is worse than it was, or something like that. I get a little tired of that argument because it doesn't change anything.
It's different, but doesn't mean it's better or worse. Yeah.
Right. It just is what it is. Yeah. We're working with the times we're in. Mm-hmm. I think that when looking at the positives of it, a lot of what I think of isn't so much about me as a music fan, but musicians.
Yeah.
And the idea that a musician can get discovered easier now than ever in human history.
They can make a living without being super famous, right?
Yeah. And more and more, we're seeing more and more artists being able to do their own thing, own their own music.
Yeah.
And get themselves out there. And so much of that has to do with streaming and MP3s and all this.
All that stuff. Because it's easier to transport now. Yep.
I think that the positives are there with
absolutely.
This. I certainly. And another fun part of this, too, if you like those old ways of listening to music, you still can.
You can still do it.
That's pretty cool.
If you have an old Victrola that plays nothing but 78 RPM records, you do it. Just go for it.
And yeah, music is not only universal. Music is one of those things that brings us together.
It does.
And doesn't worry. Music doesn't care who you vote for. Music doesn't care if you're rich or poor. Music just listen.
It's there. It makes our life better.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap up the morning show for this Wednesday. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to take it to the top of the hour. Got nothing but great civic media programming coming up throughout the rest of the day, everybody. Want to get into our schedule and some good stories of the day and some great events going on in our area. We just want to remind everybody that we're still collecting. If you're a nonprofit, you've got a Halloween activity going on, Halloween event, let us know about it so we can let the audience know.
Yes. If you still have some out there coming up next week, we would still collect them and get them out there. So
email us info@WFHR.com or call us up at 715-424-1300. Looking forward to hearing from all of you.
Yeah.
Great rapid support lined up for you today. We're going to be talking with our good friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman.
All right.
We got Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. That combination, you know it's going to be good.
Yes.
It's going to be a great conversation there. And we're going to hang out with the ODC. Anne's going to join us. We're going to talk about their haunted house.
I see how that did. Yeah.
How that did and everything. And a couple of other great topics we've got with them. Looking forward to all of that.
Nice.
A little bit later today on our sister station, 105.5 WRI, we got Playmakers from 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Join us for a live sports call-in show brought to you by Quality Plus Printing.
Yes.
Get your sports takes and feelings to us from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WRI. Today.
Ooh, very cool.
Over here on WFHR at 705, the Luke Fickell Show, while it lasts.
I don't, it's not looking good right now. It is not looking good.
I don't know how much longer it's going to be called the Luke Fickell Show. I don't know how much longer it's going to be that. But we'll see. We'll find out more on that one. And we got other great sports on the radio dials on both stations.
Yeah.
A little bit more coming up. Seth, it's Wednesday. We know what that means.
It means bingo.
Bingo.
Over at the Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Doors open at 5 o'clock. 6:30 is when the bingo starts. They do this every Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, it's to support the Elks and all the great things that they do. They've had a couple other fun events happening recently. And it's all to help raise funds to help stuff in the community. There's a lot of things that they do with veterans and students and all that kind of stuff. So help support the Elks and have fun at the same time by doing some bingo tonight. And we are getting closer. Ooh, just a couple of days away, everyone. Day of Caring is just around the corner. They are getting ready, still accepting volunteers and groups to get ready to rake some yards in town here. And you still have a chance to go to their website, get more information about that, uwswac.org. You can call 715-421-0390 during their normal business hours and get some more information on that. And that's coming up on Saturday. Plus, they'll give you the start times and all that stuff. And breakfast as well, because you do get a breakfast with it.
Got Terry in tomorrow. We'll be talking a little more about that. Find out more at uwswac.org. The great people over at the Historic Point Boss have been asking you to come down and enjoy an evening of haunted history, storytelling, and guided lantern-lit tours. Their Spirit Walk is going on one more weekend, coming up this weekend over at the Historic Point Boss, on from 6 to 8 at 364 Wakely Road, just off Highway Z. Be sure to find out more about this and attend, be a part of this one, put back in your community while also enjoying your community and having some fun.
Yeah.
Find out more at historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com, be a part of the Spirit Walk.
Very cool.
I encourage you to do that. Also encourage you to make plans tomorrow to take in Eat, Drink, and Be Murdered, an Irish Family Feud, brought to you by our Silver Foxes from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Yes.
They got a 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow, and then on a Friday, they got a 7 o'clock show on Friday, both at the WRCT Auditorium. Find out more at wrctheater.org. And Seth, I am in purple today.
You are in purple. It's true.
I am not trying to be a Viking fan with you or anything. I am.
I wouldn't expect you to be.
I am trying. My team already is bad enough. I am trying to support our month of October here that is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Correct.
You're going to see a lot of people in purple. You're going to be seeing a lot of purple in the community.
Lights and so forth. Yep.
Our bridge has been lit up.
Yep.
Shout out to the mayor and everybody working on that one. A lot of people have changed their outdoor lights to purple lights and everything. And we're all doing this to show we all are on the right side of history with this one.
Okay.
The theme for this year's domestic violence vigil is Everyone Knows Someone. Please join us to honor those who tragically lost their life due to domestic violence-related homicides in Wisconsin in 2024. Okay. This is an event where we all are going to come together, honor these individuals while also reminding everybody out there where we stand as a community on domestic violence.
Yes.
And where people out there that are struggling with it, that they know that they have a community that supports them. We know how Midwesterners are. We do most things in silence. We suffer in silence. We don't share our pain. This topic is no different. So be an ally, even when you think nobody is listening or paying attention.
That's right, because people are. People are listening and paying attention.
Thursday, October 23rd, going on tomorrow over at McMillan Library's beautiful auditorium at 6 o'clock. We encourage you to be there, everybody. And a thank you to everybody planning on attending. And a big thank you to our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
Yes.
The mom of a boy with type 1 diabetes is trending on TikTok after their dog alerted her that the kid's blood sugar was low.
Oh.
She said it somehow sensed it across the house and all through a sliding door.
Whoa. Wow.
We've heard this with animals before.
We have.
About being able to do this.
Yes.
I don't know. I've heard of one where the dog was like
like they're in the room. Yeah. Kind of thing.
It was a block away almost.
Wow.
Everything it was able to do this. Like, that's a heck of a sniffer you got.
I'm going to say it's, you know, it's got to be some kind of physical reaction that they sense or smell or, you know, when one of their senses picks up probably their sense of smell because it's so keen. But yeah.
I'm sure there's some great science behind
it. I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking into that.
Be interesting to see.
It's a future rabbit hole I'll be going down. Doctors in London did brain surgery on a 65-year-old woman with Parkinson's while she played the clarinet.
What?
It was to see how she responded when they messed with different parts of her brain.
Wow.
And that she had instant results.
Wow.
She immediately had more dexterity in her hands and played a lot better. That's wild.
Man, does the brain is so just fascinating. My goodness.
That's one of the most wild stories you're ever going to hear.
Man.
That's just incredible. That's
how
that's
do you wild. Volunteer for something like that?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to cut your head open and you can play the clarinet while we poke in your brain, you know?
Like, every once in a while, you got to get dental work and they can't knock you out. Like,
I love that idea. That's so great.
That this feels a little bit.
It does feel like that, yeah.
A paper in Atlanta did a story this month on a little boy who's oddly obsessed with the former president, Jimmy Carter. And he was 3 when he saw a picture of Carter and found it extremely gripping. He wanted his 5th birthday party to be Jimmy Carter themed. So his mom started planning and posting videos this summer about it. And then Habitat for Humanity heard about it and sent him a bunch of swag last week.
Oh, fantastic.
Now he says he wants to build houses when he grows up.
Oh, well, how about that? You go. You do it, man.
That's pretty cool.
See, Jimmy Carter, even in death, is inspiring people.
What a good president can do.
Yeah, that's right.
We will. Great show today, Seth.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there.